This is Robert Martellacci, publisher of the Mindshare Learning Report, Canada's learning and technology e-magazine. Our April Cross Canada Spotlight is on La Belle Province de Quebec, along with our special Buyer's Guide edition. I'm fortunate to have joined me this afternoon for a Mindshare Learning Moment, Michael Canuel, CEO of Learn, a not-for-profit educational organization which has been recognized internationally for its leadership in online and blended learning, and which has the mandate to serve the educational community of English Quebec at the K-11 levels. A former English teacher and businessman, Michael is also president of the founding board of directors of the Canadian e-learning network, CanElearn, and as well as the chairman of the not-for-profit educational technology firm iEdit. When he is not working, he is completing his doctoral dissertation, which deals with modeling social constructivist methodologies in the training programs of online teachers. He works as the senior educational advisor to an educational project in Thailand, where he is designed a program in concert with the country's One Tablet Per Child program, and which is presently being implemented across various provinces. Thank you for joining me this afternoon, Michael.
Thank you, Robert, for having me.
And coincidentally, the more handsome brother to Ron Canuel, the CEO of the CEA, if I can add that.
My mother confirms that.
Wow, what an impressive resume you have. And you've been a busy man in Quebec and beyond and internationally. Let's start with perhaps Quebec and what's happening with Learn and a little bit about the history there and the impact you're making.
We started off close to 9 years ago, Robert. We were asked really to try to serve the English community of Quebec by providing resources and services. And this was really happening at a time when there was a new curriculum in Quebec based on social constructivist principles. And there was, frankly, very little in the way of resources for the community. Teachers really didn't have much of an idea as to how to apply the curriculum, what it really meant. And there were just no digital resources or even print resources that they could use. Most of the material coming from outside the province really didn't fit our curriculum. So our job was really to start by creating a lot of resources that would help to close the gap between what the curriculum expected of the teachers and what the teachers actually had. And given that the French community really tended to have a little bit more than the English community, our role was to try and close the gap and answer a lot of those needs. And so we took primarily a digital approach to it, simply because to print everything never would have worked.
That makes sense. And so hence you've forged a number of strategic partnerships with various organizations in providing resources, digital resources and tools.
Absolutely. We've worked very closely with our community. First of all of the school boards across the province, the private schools, and that's homeschoolers, the First Nations school boards in our community are all our partners. And we've worked very, very closely with them, trying to answer a lot of the various needs. Some of them are very common and others are particular to each area. The province is so vast that we have to try to also tailor a lot of what we do to answer needs of students, for example, in Kujaratjepik, far, far north, compared to some in, right on the island of Montreal.
And hence, you have your own internally developed web conferencing tool. That's impressive.
We decided over the years that paying out a small fortune every year to a supplier web conferencing just didn't make any sense to us. So we basically hired a number of programmers, built off an existing platform, and now we have a platform that's really quite robust and that works off pretty much all devices and including has mobile features as well, works off tablets. So it's a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Now, I'm trying to think of an organization that parallels what you do in Canada. There are any other examples? Because I think it's a brilliant model.
I think, to be frank, that we have some organizations that do a little bit of what we do in Ontario. You have
No.
Yes, that's right. And they do some of what we do. I think because our mandate is so broad, we cover everything. So we have, for example, an online peer-reviewed journal called Learning Landscapes, and that incorporates all kinds of articles written by luminaries in education. We've had Jerome Bruner write for us, Howard Gardner, Jean Clendenin, et cetera, et cetera. But we have that kind kind of resource, and there aren't too many who have that, but we also have our own virtual school to meet the needs of students in particular schools, filling up other requirements. Then we have, again, in our content management system, because I call it a website, but it's really much more than that. We have maybe 200,000-300,000 pages of material. Last year, we had 60 million hits on our site. So we...
Wow.
We've done professional development last year for over 4,000 teachers. We have 1,000 teachers in online communities of collaboration. So we're really busy, and but we do this by partnering. And getting back to your question, we do this by partnering very closely with our community in the public sector as well as in the private sector. We found a lot of organizations with whom we're able to do things and piggyback their resources, their competencies, because we don't believe in reinventing the wheel all the time. We believe in building and collaborating, building together and collaborating.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I noticed Taking It Global as a partner. Maybe you can mention some of your other partners as well.
Discovery Canada, the National Film Board, CBC, Scholastic Books, Pearson, have all been great, great partners for us. We're currently collaborating with a company called Junio in Menlo Park.
Wayne Poncia.
Yes, that's right.
Ran into him at FETC.
That's right. Well, we're working, that project actually, it was our initiative, and we convinced them to get into it. And as you know, we're building a learning object repository with them that will have intelligent analytics that will really, I think, will be a game changer in education, not just in Quebec, but I think worldwide. So we're really excited about that. These analytics are going to be quite special because it'll provide the opportunity to rapidly develop differentiated learning paths for students. So, as you can tell, I'm really excited.
Well, fantastic. You're getting me excited about this. That's fantastic. Now, tell me about the impact that you're making at the school level. I know your fine brother talked about his previous life as the superintendent in the Eastern Township School District, that was one of the first one-to-one initiatives in all of Canada, which I suspect you had something to do with.
Actually, we didn't, to be honest with you, in the sense that we didn't. We weren't there
at the start. But you inspired him, no doubt.
no doubt about that. But actually, what happened is that once it was up and running, we were there frequently working with their teachers, supporting them in a variety of ways. And throughout the province, it's really the way that we work it. And essentially, we work on projects. We try to anticipate what's happening. For example, in one particular school board in northern Quebec, there's a tremendous shortage of qualified teachers. So we're working with the school board up there to bring their teachers to a point where they're a little bit more comfortable in the classroom, where they're able to support their classrooms a little bit more. On the island of Montreal, there's some schools where, even though there are many, many students on the island, there's still some schools with a small population, so we're delivering online classes to these schools so that the students can complete their curriculum. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to get the courses that they need. We work where we're needed, and we try to, again, obviously, try to forecast and foresee some of the particular needs. And we work our stakeholders in our community here. We're very close to the parents as well. We have, for example, online tutorials at night and that are delivered using our web conferencing platform. And incidentally, everything we do is free. We receive funding from Heritage Canada, that's of course siphoned through the Ministry of Education, and we've been successful in a business point of view, and as a nonprofit, our profits go right back into our organization. So we've been actually able to do a lot of different things, and we continue to provide the support. We try to be forward-looking, but we're also there to answer them on a very day-to-day basis.
You know, I think the services you're providing are outstanding. It addresses the gaps that currently exist, you know, as an example in Ontario with the lack of PD, with the lack of collaboration between public and private. You are an organization that acts as an intermediary and an enabler to being the voice and service provider where there's gaps, and that's brilliant. I commend you for your leadership and innovation around that. I think there's certainly some lessons to be learned from your fine work that you've done. And, you know, I was just at this press conference today from People for Education who illuminated the new normal in education in Ontario schools, that everyone's gone digital at home, but at the school level, it's very inconsistent. There are inequities and there are huge challenges. There's no vision, 21st century vision in Ontario. How's Quebec doing in that regard?
again, to be honest with you, I'm sure it's the same way in Ontario as it is in most places. It's a lot of it is hit and miss. You do have school districts that are taking a real leadership role, they're being very progressive, and then there are others who are very much fixed in doing things the good old-fashioned way. Again, we've suffered in Quebec with some issues a couple of years ago. There was a government decision that every school classroom would have whiteboards, and so interactive whiteboards. And of course, they imposed those on the teachers without really any plan. So having the technology was all well and fine, but the teachers resisted and said, well, what are we going to do with these? And then we were at a school board last year where they called us in and said, well, we've got tablets for all our teachers, but we don't know what to do with them now. And of course, the teacher said, well, listen, you're asking us to do something here, but you want us to use them, but we don't even know what you want us to do with them. So there was a right off the top plan that introducing technology without any objective really created for us a number of problems. On the other hand, as I said to you, there are great innovation, again, using the school board in the north of Quebec. They're so receptive to new technology, anxiously, they eat it up. And I think that the more needy they are, I guess the more anxious they are to embrace it, and there's less resistance. Where we've had some resistance, oddly enough, is where there's affluence. The affluent areas seem to be a little bit more resistant to change for whatever reason.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I guess they want to stick back to basics. As a parent of high school age kids that are applying to university, at the end of the day, if it's not making an impact on their grades, I think project-based learning is great, but you have to have the testing or the evaluation of 21st century skills is still at its infancy. And my boys want to go to business school. So you need to be up in the high 80s or low 90s. That's the reality.
And
right?
I think through the whole process and what you're suggesting, and I think it's really we're all moving or trying to move towards, and that is that you want to make learning visible. Thank you, John Hattie.
Right.
You do want to make it visible. You want to see that, and you can assess it in a formative way, but you also at some point need some summative tools as well without, you know, going too far backwards.
Yeah.
The whole process. You do need, there's a balance that needs to be struck, and I think it can be done in a way that still serves the interests and needs of the students. And I think that we have the technological tools that can make this happen without it being invasive or counterproductive.
That's a great way of putting it. So you've been part of a national organization that formed recently around e-learning, Can E-Learn.
Yes. We really became an organization about a year ago. We met for the first time officially 2 years ago in Toronto, and really with the notion that Canadians, we don't normally, from one province to the other, do a lot of sharing, simply because education is a provincial jurisdiction. However, we met originally, most of us, in conferences in the States, and decided subsequently that it would be in our mutual interest if, as Canadians, we started to share some of the things that we're doing, resources, innovation, etc. So we met in Toronto, and we actually incorporated last summer, and so now Can E-Learn, which is the Canadian E-Learning Network, is bringing together Canadians' interest in online and blended learning with a view to sharing and collaborating. And I'm
wow.
really thrilled to be the president of the founding.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And isn't it ironic we have a Quebecer who's leading a Canadian organization and founding it?
I'd be happy to. I'm surprised we haven't collaborated on this, and I look forward to it. It sounds like a terrific organization, and given your leadership skills, I'm sure it will be a success.
Thank you so much, Robert. It's very kind of you.
Perhaps we can touch on your international work and what's happening in Thailand. Sounds really exciting. Does this dovetail with your doctoral work as well?
It's really more something that I'm doing pretty much on my own. We started off supporting it through iEdit, which are the commercial division of Learn. However, it's moved a little bit beyond that at the moment, and we're supporting it by providing a number of things. The first, obviously, is the web conferencing technology.
Sure.
But more importantly, it comes from the pedagogical support that we're providing. I designed the model. It's a blended learning model for the Thai schools, and it's for the teaching of English as a second language, and we're using it. Neurolinguistic approach that was developed actually at the University of Ottawa
Fantastic.
That we said we could apply internationally. So this is really exciting. We were in a number of provinces now, and we've got the Prime Minister and everyone down in Thailand rooting for us and supporting us. And we hope that in a few years we'll have all 9 million students working with us.
Congratulations. That's a huge project. And, you know, it's nice to see that Canadian inspiration behind it.
It is exciting. And it comes at a time where, again, we had a government that rolled out tablets and didn't have any real plan for it. And the tablets were sitting on the shelves, gathering dust. And we just needed to have a reason to use them. And so we created that reason. And now we're actually in the process of doing a lot of training with the teachers over there. You mentioned the teacher training and professional learning. And that's a critical part of all of this. So it's not just for us the technology or the methodology. The major challenge is really preparing the teachers for a whole new approach.
Fantastic. Well, I want to be mindful of your time. We can go on all night if we chose to, but what's your perspective on 21st century learning skills and global digital citizenship? Your brother, Ron, is part of our C21 Canada initiative, a global initiative that is promoting 21st century learning frameworks across the country.
I can't tell you how important I think all of this is. It's just absolutely critical. We have to move out of the traditional, comfortable mindsets that we've put forward in so many of our schools and really start to challenge ourselves and then our children, because if we don't prepare them, we're going to be in dire straits. We need to be promoting creativity. We need to be promoting imagination amongst our children. And then when we say this, I'm not talking about just the plastic arts or the fine arts. I really think we need to promote a lot of a whole new approach. Collaborative learning is so essential. But before we see any of that, we need to have our leaders thinking this way. We need to see them being creative. We need to see them collaborative. And that's part of the main challenge. We can't expect our children in our schools to be doing what we're not doing ourselves. So my hope is that by working with a lot of groups and Robert and with the CEA and others, that we're able to reach out to the leadership and get them to think a little bit out of the box and to really themselves work on their 21st century skills. Because so we can't expect someone to use a computer if they're not a computer user.
Well, on that point, one thing that really gets me going is my tagline is, one of them is, you got to walk the digital talk. And how often are you at a conference? Someone was asking me about note-taking today, and he said, how are you going to take notes? And I held up my PDA, and I said, this is how I take my notes. I just put them in my PDA, and I have them digitally. And I sit in meetings with leaders. I sit in meetings with leaders with a notepad an inch thick of written notes, like packed with notes. Yeah. I'm not sure how you retrieve that. You know, but at a leadership role, if you're not modeling to your point, it's not going to cascade downward.
Oh, that's my doctoral dissertation, Robert. It's about modeling right off the top. If you want people to do something, and teachers to do something in a classroom, or if you're the principal of a school, you want your teachers to be doing something, it's not very complicated. You have to be modeling for them. So that's really what the kind of leadership that we need. Enough lip service. We need to move on, press forward.
We need bold leadership and passionate leadership. And I can say that based on knowing your brother and in our conversation, you're a passionate man, and you're making a difference. And it's about passion and a call to action.
As I was mentioning earlier, one of my favorite books when I was a student in university was a book by Neil Postman and Weingartner about teaching as a subversive activity. And I think as we try to initiate change, we have to see it as a subversive activity almost.
Thank you so much for your time this afternoon, Michael.
Thank you, Robert. It's been a real pleasure.
That was Michael Canuel, the CEO of Learn, based in Quebec. My name is Robert Martellacci of the Mindshare Learning Report. Be sure to check out www.mindsharelearning.com to get your latest issue of the Mindshare Learning Report. And until next time, keep the learning curve steep.